from NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Jackie Lydon. Early in May, on the red carpeted stairs of the Metropolitan Museum of Art in Manhattan, hundreds of fabulously dressed people attended a ball inaugurating an exhibit called Paul Poiret, King of Fashion. Paul Poiret opened his couture house in Paris in 1903. It was finally shut down after years of financial difficulties in 1929. He was inspired by the artistic trends of the Belle Époque, that era before World War I, marked by a fascination with Orientalism and sensuality. He had a passion for decoration, feathers, and flowers, so the Met honored his memory with a golden cage holding several peacocks and 12,000 red roses. The exhibit's opening night party was the ultimate Poiret tribute. And yet, Paul Poiret is, or was before this show, perhaps not given his due, even by people in the fashion industry. He died forgotten and almost penniless in 1944. At the height of his influence, Poiret was the man who got women out of their stuffy Edwardian corsets. He dropped waistlines, raised bust lines, and created clothes that followed the body, fluidly. Tunics, chemises, harem pants, and culottes. He was renowned for a dress that looked like a lampshade. The story of Poiret's recent return from obscurity begins in France. A few years ago, Madame Françoise Auger, owner of the premier vintage shop in Paris, got a phone call from Poiret's granddaughter.
She called me one day and said, Françoise, please, can you come to see me? And because I am obliged to sell all the dresses because I leave Paris and I am rather old, she told me, and I need somebody to take care of all that. And I say, of course, I come. And that's where the beginning.
And when Françoise Auger arrived at the Poiret residence, there were trunks waiting for her. Packed away for nearly a century were dresses that Poiret's granddaughter had worn to play dress-up. The family auctioned off the clothes in 2005. The Met bought 50 pieces, and this year its Costume Institute opened its retrospective. Andrew Bolton, co-curator, took us on a tour. Now, come with us to the Met and imagine yourself stepping into Paul Poiret's perfumed Art Nouveau salon in the year he opened it, 1903. The Met has beautifully recreated tableaus displaying the clothes along with objects from their time.
So this particular piece was one of the first garments that Poiret created when he set up his own house as an independent couturier in 1903. It dates to 1905. Two of the major narrative threads in Poiret's work is Orientalism and Classicism, this idea of draping fabric directly onto the body. And that was one of Poiret's major innovations, was getting away from the tailoring traditions of the 19th century and creating fabric that almost three-dimensionally fitted on the body. And this piece is just made from one rectangular fabric, so no seams at all. It's almost constructed like a Greek tunic.
The women who wore Poiret's clothes were, as one writer calls them, the Marquesas de Couture of Paris in the early 20th century. Peggy Guggenheim, the shipping heiress Nancy Cunard, and Poiret's muse, his wife, Denise. She was a tall, striking brunette, a provincial girl who became a fashion diva. Most of the dresses in this exhibition belong to Denise, including this one, a simple, beautiful blue robe.
We're coming up to a piece where you have a figure on a bed right in the middle of this exhibit, and she's holding not a fan, but four gold plumes. This is really striking, the sumptuous eggplant colors and huge aubergine with gold pillows, and then a figure in blue holding these plumes of gold feathers.
And it's actually a direct reference to a photograph of Denise Poiret, Poiret's wife. And this is taken in the Plaza Hotel in New York. When Poiret first came to America in 1913, he brought his wife primarily as a mannequin. Denise came with a suitcase of 100 outfits, which she wore at various events. And she wore, for a Vogue shoot, the chemise dress. And we mentioned it earlier on, but this is a very good example. And you can see it's just a very simple T-shaped garment. So two rectangles of fabric with minimal cutting. And just seams at the side and the shoulder seam.
Well, you know, you would be able to get quite a few of these in one steamer trunk because you could fold them so easily. You say in your window panel here, in the writing that you've done underneath the exhibit that sometimes the chemise was known as the robe de minute. You mean looking as if you could make it in a minute? Is
exactly.
that what you mean?
Well, I think it was called the robe de minute because it apparently took about half an hour to make. It was such a simple garment, it took half an hour, which is, again, incredible. There is this piece over here, which is an evening chemise, an evening version of this dress, which Denise wore to the opening of an opera in 1911. And again, if you were to think about the idea of Denise going into a public space wearing such a simple T-shaped silhouette. I mean, in the private precincts of the own home is one thing, but the idea of going in public
wearing She must have looked like she was in silk pajamas.
Exactly, yeah, evening wear.
This blue robe de minute was also the favourite of Vogue's European editor-at-large, Hamish Bowles.
It is literally a T-shirt of sort of crepe de chine. It's a garment of astonishing simplicity and modernity. It is the Demoiselle d'Avignon of fashion, really, and it's contemporary with that, you know.
Picasso's 1907, Demoiselle d'Avignon, is considered the first example of modern art. But Picasso's canvas of five angular-looking prostitutes at a brothel was meant to shock. This was not Poivre's intent with his crepe de chine T-shirt. He wanted to free up and enhance the body. His new approach made him the first designer to tell his clients not only how to dress, but how to live.
Certainly true to say that he was the first designer to create a brand that extended beyond fashion. Interiors and lifestyle and fragrance, so many things that we now take for granted with a big fashion name and a fashion house, but he was the first person to do that, to patronize contemporary artists and collaborate with them. I think all these were extraordinarily innovative developments.
But Poiret's empire didn't last. It couldn't last.
His extravagance knew no bounds. He was that classic combination of extraordinary creative talent, but had absolutely no business savvy at all. His fashion house ended in bankruptcy. He himself ended in penury. Something of a sort of forgotten figure. His theatrical vision had been eclipsed by emerging designers such as Chanel and Patou, who had a far more streamlined, modernist vision.
Poiret had committed the cardinal sin of becoming unfashionable. In 1925, Chanel overtook him with her signature little black dress. Then his muse and wife, Denise, left him. There's a story, which may be apocryphal, about Poiret meeting Coco Chanel on the street in Paris. She was wearing that trademark little black dress. "Madame," he said, "for whom are you in mourning?" "For you, my dear monsieur," Coco Chanel is said to have replied. And indeed, his career had become something to mourn. By the time he died in 1944, Paul Poiret was working in a bar, his fashion house long closed. But he was convinced he'd make a comeback one day. Now, Poiret's legacy has been restored. My favorite piece at the Met? The Mademoiselle Day Dress, he named all his dresses, a simple tawny chemise with a dropped waist, which falls into a riot of colorful pleats. You can see it for yourself at the Met until August 5th, or for other Poiret fashions, please check out our website, npr.org.